All right, it's our end of the world special event. Now, it's 11:08 p.m. here in Los Angeles. We're still here. We've got another 52 minutes to go. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Then you can post right there where if you're okay. And I want to hear from everybody because Mario in Tatawa, New Jersey said everything is cool there, no problems. Beamer in Central California, everything's cool. Ajax, Mojave, Arizona, everything's cool. Jason in Fall River, Massachusetts, checking in. They can hear the show. Alec in Benoni, check this out. South Africa, checking in, saying everything is cool. And then Clarence in Garrison, Kentucky, the city is still there. So all good on the Western Front so far. We are here. Now, our guests, we're going to be taking calls here when we come back after this short break. Our guest is attorney contractor and ET contactee Gordon James. Giannini Nodo. Now, this is the thing. Yes, he's a contactee, but he has all of this information about Planet X and Nibiru. And we were just talking before the break that Planet X Nibiru is stationary, and so is Venus, apparently, and so is Planet Earth, and have been since December 2003. I'm sure that everybody wants some more information on this. And we'll follow up with everything and take your calls right after this short break. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM.com. I almost said .com. Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We're partying here in the studio. I'm just going to let everybody know it's the end of the world show. All right, so we've got 11:13 right now. So we've got 47 minutes till midnight, and we'll see what's going on. And then the second half of the show, you know, all bets are off what's going to go down here in the studio, because when the cats are away, right, because this building is empty. Our guest tonight, Gordon James Giannotto. And, oh, Gordon, are you there? Right before the break, I got a little tongue-tied, and I apologize for tongue-tying your last name. But anyway, let's go straight to the phones. We've got a full...
Yeah, well, can I say just a few things shortly?
Sure.
Okay. I haven't written a book. I don't have any website. I'm not making any money. I do this entirely for the enthusiasm to share what I know with other people.
Yeah, and I want to get to a bunch. There are so many questions right now. I don't know if you're watching Twitter. Twitter is on fire.
No, I can't read, really. And I lost most of my eyesight by taking aspirin. Aspirin will cause blindness. It's not on the bottle, but if I could sue Bayer Aspirin for $53 million for the loss of my eyesight, I would. But the last time I was on, May 15th, George Norrie offered to send me some of Dr. Wallach's products, which he guarantees will cure wet macular degeneration. So gradually my eyesight is improving, and I'm hoping to be able to go back to motor vehicle and take the eye test and pass and get my license back. So wow. Thanks to George. Thanks to Coast to Coast.
Absolutely.
Like
that would be great.
Having a family.
Right.
Like having a family, Jimmy.
Right. Absolutely. That would be just great. All right. Well, let's go out. We'll start out west this time. Let's go to Robert in Tucson, Arizona. Robert, you're up first on Coast to Coast. Welcome. It's the end of the world special event.
Hello. I just have a comment. No real question.
Hi, Robert.
That's okay. I think what we need is to have contrary viewpoints to this guest's theories on this radio show. You should bring on a guest in the near future, possibly a scientist, for example, and present the opposing view.
What would the opposing view? Oh, Robert, let me jump in. What would the opposing view be?
That there is not a planet that's going to cause all of this mayhem.
Okay.
So basically that would make it a balanced approach. You just can't present just one view. There are many untouchable whistleblowers all around the world, Julian Assange, for example,
right,
who could expose this if it were true. So governments can't muzzle everybody around the world. The truth would come out if this guest's theory was correct.
Well,
that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Okay.
I'll hang up. I'll listen to your radio station. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, Robert. And see, that's an interesting call from Robert, because I'm going to keep. We're jammed up here.
So
but
wrong. He is so wrong. But
no, it's not that.
It's okay. You Gordon. Know, I'm not an idiot. I graduated at the top of my class in high school, college, and law school while I worked to pay for it. I never had a loan. I graduated working 50 hours a week at the top of my class. So
right, but Gordon, always remember the callers are never wrong. Okay,
well,
that's who
I'm
supports.
Not, I didn't say a word, did I?
Okay. All right. The callers are never, ever wrong. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to, I'm going to go out east. Let's go out east to Mike in Ithaca, New York. Mike, you're up next.
Hi, Jimmy, Gordon, and everyone else. Before I get to today's topic, I just want to say that REM once gave me a personal audience, an audience of one, that song when it was new.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that one you just played.
Yeah, man, that's cool.
It used to be called Something Bad Happened in 2001. That was its original title, and they sang it for me in 2000. Anyway, to get to today's topic, I want to make a point that the doomsday scenarios of various kinds that exist and the Y2K doomsday scenario are two different worlds, because the Y2K thing was an artifact of technology, and to prevent the disasters, many programmers, including most of my friends and their spouses and me, worked our tails off altering the codes of programs one by one so they wouldn't be affected when the millennium came. People worked very hard to prevent that disaster. And perhaps if people hadn't pointed the disaster out, which is what would have happened if no one did anything, we wouldn't have fixed it.
Right. And when we talk about, and that's a very interesting point, Mike, and I knew that there would be listeners out there that would think that that's what I was talking about as well. No, I wasn't referring to the Y2K computer scenario. I was referring to the, 1999 to 2000, second millennium, end of the world,
I got you. Yeah, there's a folk song about how everyone got ready, but then they realized the millennium.
Right. 2001. Right. But yeah, point taken. And I want to thank you for the phone call, Mike, and be safe out there.
For the program.
Absolutely. Great phone call.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's go to, I'm going to stay out east. Let's go to Dave in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. He wants to talk about Planet X. Dave, you're up next.
Jimmy, I'm actually on Planet X right now.
And what's the weather like?
It's freezing up here.
Okay, there you go. What's on your mind, Dave?
Listen, Python, I like your guest very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
He seems very smart. But I want to just let people's mind go to ease that there will never be a nuclear war between North Korea and America, because the visitors that we so dearly love will not let it happen.
That's right. You've got
it.
I
just want to put people's mind at ease.
I totally agree.
Okay, love your show, man.
Thank you, Dave. Be safe out there.
Okay, we'll do.
Thanks,
great. See, the Coast audience is the best, aren't they? And now let's go down. Let's go down south. Let's go to Nancy in Victoria, Texas. She wants to talk about Planet X. Nancy, you're up next on Coast.
Hello.
Hi, Nancy.
I got a question for the guest.
Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Shoot.
Okay, if and when Planet X shows up on planet Earth, what's the first thing the people of Earth should do when it shows up?
Thank you for the phone call,
okay.
Nancy.
That's going to be kind of light, but it's a great question, because there's a part right at the top of ZetaTalk.com is safe areas, and you should go there and look at it. It mentions all the different areas in the world. It says what's going to happen to them. You may have to do a little bit of interpolation to figure out where's an area that's going to be safe, but you will and you can. But what's going to happen at first is we're going to have increasing earthquakes, volcanoes, tidal surges, bigger storms. We're going to have all kinds of things like that. And the pace is going to pick up to the point where the governments cannot rescue anybody. You are going to be on your own. And you're going to see that happen. Then right before when finally Planet X moves far enough away from the sun that everyone around the world looks up and goes, oh, my God, what's that? How could it have gotten there and they never told us how? Who's been lying to us? When that happens, that day, mark it on your calendar, because it's 49 days till pole shift.
49 days?
7 weeks.
7 weeks. Now, I remember listening to you before, Gordon, when you said that the oceans would swell up and overtake everything, right?
Well, there's a great website that your listener can go to and really enjoy. It's called Hey What's That? Now, they have a lot of things going on there. And if you do Google search for Hey What's That by itself, you're never going to find this. But you have to do plus, like a plus sign, like 2 + 2. You go, Hey What's That? Plus sea level rise. And it's a Google map of the Earth. And you can make it bigger or larger just to your area. And then on the left-hand side, you plug in the final sea level, which will be 700 feet above present. And then it will color the map red where all that water is going to go over land. And you will see for yourself where your area is. And the whole southeastern United States is going to be underwater. And Florida is going to sink 150 feet, as is the UK and Japan. So they will be under 850 feet.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. Let's go to the first-time caller line. Let's go to Brennan in Memphis, Tennessee. Brennan, you're up next on Coast.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to let you know I am in the future. I am at 1:21 a.m., and I wanted to let you know that the world has ended.
Oh, it has ended. So I've only got 2 hours left.
Yeah, you got about 2 hours left. Me and my dogs were doing fine. I got gas masks for them.
Right. Well, why? So that means if you're in Memphis, that means it's you're on Beale Street right now and holding down the fort, then, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're going bananas.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I've got a question for the guest.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you were saying that the Earth has been stationary since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So by that, under that, that means that, so basically, like, the tides haven't been coming in, everything's just been, you know, the weather's been pretty much the same since 2003. So I was just wondering if that is the case, or if there is an explanation for it, or if there's some sort of clown shoes thing that you're going to say about that.
Ah, great question, Brennan, and thank you so much. Now go to Purple Haze Nightclub and say hi to Pat for me. I'll talk to you. Thank you. Great phone call. Well, go ahead, Gordon.
By the way, when the extraterrestrials take humans up on the spaceships, they put them in a room and they gas them to get rid of bacteria. And Jimi Hendrix actually remembered his contact. The Zetas say that he was contacted, and that purple haze is the color of the smoke that purifies the bacteria. And so that's a real song there, Purple Haze, from a real experience.
Right. And what about Gordon?
No, things aren't the same at all. Storms have been great. You see, Planet X is laying on its side with its north pole pointing at the equator of the Earth, and it's causing the magma in the Earth to roil, you know, R-O-I-L. And what it's doing is it's warming the ground. So if you notice, the glaciers are melting from underneath. The ocean bottoms are warming, and the oceans have warmed worldwide a half a degree. So the storms are more powerful, but the Earth is wobbling. As the Earth turns, the Planet X grabs the iron bar that goes down the middle of the Atlantic, and it pulls the North Pole down towards the sun. So you wouldn't think that could happen, because North Poles repel each other and the North Pole of Planet X, but it's such a big bar of iron under the ocean in the Mid-Atlantic Ridge that it pulls it down. That's why the sun has been sitting over the North Atlantic, and that you can warm the North Atlantic all you want, and you're not going to get a hurricane. That's why we've only had like one hurricane a year average in the Atlantic since 2003. But as the Earth turns, it lurches a little bit because it's free of the magnetic pull, and the sun starts rising over the Pacific. Now, there's no metal bar going down the Pacific, so the North Pole of Planet X pushes the North Pole of Earth away. So there's a huge Earth wobble. If you lean towards your computer and put your head towards the screen and then slowly go to the right and then move your back so you're further away from the screen, and then come around to the left and then move your head closer to the screen, that's what the wobble has been like. But recently, instead of four lobes, it's got eight, because it's getting closer and the pull is stronger. That's why they have over 80 hurricanes a year in the South Pacific, because when the North Pole gets pushed away, the sun sits over the already warm water and causes huge hurricanes, which are called typhoons and cyclones. So that's why there's an 80-to-1 ratio. That's the difference. There's all these signs out there, but nobody's putting these pieces together. And if they are, and they're a scientist, they're not going to talk because they won't get published. They will get fired. They might get killed.
Right.
I wanted to ask you about the eclipse, though. If we are stationary, shouldn't we have an eclipse every single day? Wouldn't the moon just be going around the Earth, and every time it passed the sun, we'd have an eclipse?
Well, the extraterrestrials can do all kinds of amazing things, because some of them have technologies that go back millions of years, so you can just imagine what they can do.
Right.
And they've been simulating the seasons to a certain extent.
Right.
And they've also been recreating astronomical events that everyone in the world is looking forward to. So they don't want people to worry until the governments announce it. Now, Obama was supposed to announce it, and he chickened out. And you know that movie Animal House with John Belushi?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You remember the dean put the fraternity on double secret probation?
Right, right. Dean Wormer.
August 15th of 2015, General Dunford declared martial law and took over the presidency, and has been running things since then. So we still have a President Trump, but Obama chickened out. So Trump is supposed to announce it, and he is being guided by extraterrestrials and, believe it or not, protected by them. And so is Putin, and so is Xi. Now, a lot of times you look at these guys and go, what are they doing? But, you know, Putin has a lot of right-wingers in Russia. If he doesn't do some things to keep them happy, he isn't going to be in office. So, and the same thing with Xi in China, and the same thing with Trump in the United States. So there's a lot going on, but it's all connected, I'm telling you. This is not martial law to kill everybody, which is what would have happened had this happened during Clinton, Bush, and the Obama administrations. But Trump has changed things. They're trying to use the military now, and they're at the point of the spear, not FEMA, and they're trying to help people. But these storms are very interesting, because first of all, they're so massive, and they clean the air. It's a beautiful thing, but they're really messages from God. Move out of there, because, you know, Florida is going to be underwater. Eastern Texas is going to be underwater. Louisiana, right. Mississippi. What's going to happen is the St. Lawrence Seaway is going to rip wide apart.
Gordon, I have to take
the Great Lakes. Yes, sir.
Gordon, I have to take a break. You got to let me jump in. Okay, we have to let me jump in. This is Coast to Coast AM. We have a network break right here. We got to hit it. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with Gordon James Giannotto right after this short break. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, Coast to Coast. This is our end of the world special event. Now, it's 11:36 p.m. here on the West Coast. So we've got 24 minutes left, and then it'll be midnight, and we'll figure things out from there. But there's still some time left. But in the meantime, I've asked everybody to check in with me here at Coast to Coast. Do it on Twitter at J Church Radio. You know, Jimmy Church. J Church Radio, at J Church Radio. And you can post right there. Rich, just from South Jersey, says things are looking good right there. Mark in Palm Harbor, Florida. It's a good thing. Down south in Florida. Florida's still there, looking good. And Aaron says Kansas, the state of Kansas and Wichita, are still in play. So, man, I'm feeling much better about things. And we just might get to midnight. All right, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM, our end of the world. If you can hear me now, it's So Far, So Good special event. Our guest tonight, manning the phones with me for this next segment, is attorney, contractor, ET contactee, Gordon James Giannotto. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Gordon James Giannotto, and he's helping me man the phones. I've got a full rack in front of me. So I'm just going to get straight to it, Gordon. Let's go to Wild Card, John in Citrus Heights, California. John, you're up next on Coast.
Hi. Hey, I'm still celebrating my 82nd birthday. It's 20 minutes to 12, according to my time, and I was born on the 20th.
Congratulations.
Anyway, I'm an old man. I've been around for a long time, and I've had a real different focus than looking forward to the calamities coming. I believe they're coming, and I really appreciate, Jimmy, what you're sharing. But I've had so many contacts with so many people that have told me that there's going to be a revealing of Jesus in these days that's going to surpass anything else. And people are going to be able to be translated in the Spirit and go from place to place and say, according to my word, be thou made whole, and people will be instantly healed. And I have reason to believe there's a generation, particularly of young people right now, that are going to inherit the promised land, spiritually speaking, and something really dramatic is going to take place before everything comes to an end. Now, does that fit at all with what you see, Jimmy? Have you ever heard of this from anybody? But, man, I've known so many people. Tommy Hicks from Buenos Aires, Argentina, he saw the stadium down there where they took away the wheelchairs, the crutches, the canes, and appendages and all of that by the semi-trailer truckloads when their time was up there in that stadium. E.H. Britton, Fletcher, Missouri, Reese Howes from Swansea, Wales, Ivan Q. Spencer, the founder of Healing Bible Institute in Upper New York City, or Upper New York State, rather, Jane Lee from England in 1697 wrote 96 propositions, Watchman Nee from China, Mayor Howe in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Right.
And, people that I've known that have seen that there's going to be a dramatic increase in the reality of Jesus and his disciples seeing things happen. And I won't go on and on.
Yeah, that's okay, John. And thank you for the phone call. Wouldn't that be amazing, Gordon?
Well,
after
well,
2,000
like comment
years.
On that, if sure. It's okay with you. I said, and I hope that people are really interested because this is the true important message from my show tonight, is that this is a spiritual graduation, and Christ will be appearing in people's hearts, and people are making a conscious choice to either be selfish or unselfish. It's like a line being drawn in the sand, and right now people are choosing to either organize all their intentions and their behavior around service to others or service to self. Now, luckily, only 10% of the population has chosen service to self, and those are the ones that do the shootings and the terrorism and everything else. But about a third of the population has chosen to be unselfish, and they don't need to be saints. It just means that at least 51% of the time they think of the other person first. If you do that, and not just because it's going to benefit you, but in other words, to be of service to other people, like Edgar Cayce said, not just to be good, but to be good for something, then you're in the group that can reincarnate on Earth, because the Earth will be a fourth-dimensional planet. Now, in a third-dimensional planet that we have here, selfish and unselfish are allowed to mix totally. So every time somebody comes along with a really good constructive idea, a selfish person comes along with a loophole or some exception and tries to ruin it. So, but in the fourth dimension, all the planets are separate. So you have selfish people on what you might call prison planets, and you have unselfish people on, among other places, the new Earth. And so this is what's ahead of us. And when I say it's a spiritual graduation, you're born on a planet, you live on a planet, you're going to die on a planet. So it isn't so important how or when you die, but whether in your lifetime, are you being a positive influence to other people? If you have only 5 minutes left to live and there's somebody in pain near you and you don't go to help them, you failed the final exam.
Right, so, right. Well, let's get a couple more calls in really quick. Let's go to Wildcard, Doc in Petaluma, California. Doc, you're up next.
Right on, yeah. Hey, I got a question for Mr. Gordon James. Was it Giannotti? What?
Gianni Noto.
Yeah, Giannotto.
Giannotto. You pronounce it so well when you do, and then you screw up once in a while. Once.
Yeah.
Gianni is Italian for John, and Noto is a fishing village in Sicily where my father was born. So it's like John, Gordon James John from Noto, sort of.
Oh, I got you. Okay, Doc, what do you got?
Anyway, he said that the planets were stopped, all three planets, Venus, the Earth, and Nibiru. And my question was, if he's got all the planets stopped, then how can How can we be closer to Nibiru when the sun moves away or farther away? Which way, whatever you said, is it either farther away or closer? Either way, how can we be in a different?
Yeah, something would have to move, right? I get you, Doc.
Okay, so the sun is 93 million miles from Earth. In the last days, we will be pulled a little bit closer to the sun, but then we'll go back to our normal orbit. And after all of this is over, the Earth will be just the way it was before in terms of its orbit, the seasons, the whole thing. But if you notice, the seasons are mixing because the jet stream was going in the northern hemisphere from west to east. And because of the Earth wobble, the Earth moves fast when it wobbles, but the air takes a while to catch up. So that's putting giant loops into the gulfs, into the jet stream. Sometimes it even brings the jet stream down to the ground. And sometimes, even though you might have a hurricane in New York, the edges of it might turn to snow. It's because you've got these incredible air flows where you've got tropical air right next to Arctic air. And so that's going to happen increasingly. We may even have a mixing of the seasons where it snows in the middle of the summer and it's balmy enough to go to the beach in the middle of winter.
And but how, okay, when we're talking about gravity pushing instead of pulling, before I get to the next caller, how does that work then? Are we being pushed down?
Inertia. We have inertia. The Earth is a quite substantial body, and it keeps going around, and it's not going to fly off into space. And I would explain more if I were told more by the Zetas, but they keep saying, and I believe me, I have plenty of opportunities to ask Nancy all kinds of questions, like to explain gravity a little better and things like that. And the Zetas' position on that is that we're all children and we don't really need to know anything. I was on a show with 25 top physicists around the world invited me to speak to them, and they're trying to invent free energy. And I said, forget it. If you do, then the cabal is going to shut you down, because that's how they make their money, is off fuel. And you can't just think that la-di-da, let's invent free energy. The extraterrestrials have free energy, but they're not going to give it to us because the selfish people would misuse it. So there's still plenty of these selfish people. Most people on the planet are 60% selfish and 40% unselfish. When they die, they're going to be given a gift, and the gift is they're going to be reborn on watery planets as sea creatures, where they won't have any possessions. Because if there's one thing that we went wrong with on Earth, it's possessions. So,
okay.
Third of the Earth has gotten the message and is being very kind. And people who are smarter are moving to safe locations.
Let's go to Miguel in Homestead, Florida. Miguel, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Yes, hello. I'd just like to make a comment on somebody, I think it was like 4 or 5 calls ago, who said that they needed to make a counterpoint. Now, my thing is this, okay, we've been spoon-fed information from the media for so many months and years, whatever.
Right.
But we need a counterpoint. We need somebody to tell us what's going to happen other than what they're telling you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, so, well, that was my point. Yeah, I agree with you, Miguel. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, because here's the problem. The problem is that they tell you whatever they want to tell you, and you are forced to believe it because they keep telling you the same things over and over and over again. But you need people
like us,
like you,
right?
Exactly, Coast to Coast AM,
right?
To make it seem like
we get the counterpoint.
Exactly. That's exactly my point, is that you guys are the counterpoint.
You're exactly.
You need a scientist to come in and tell you that what you're saying is completely wrong. No, you guys are the counterpoint, because we've been spoon-fed everything from the other side for so long that we need people like you and Coast to Coast and all those other people to make it seem and make it fair that there's another
fair.
Alternative.
Exactly.
Theory.
Fair is very important.
Yeah. Miguel, thank you for the phone call, my friend. And
I have a question.
Oh, sure. You. Go ahead.
All right. My question for the guests is, you were talking before about pictures of Nibiru, Planet X, yes, as you call it. I would like to know, what can I do to get the best picture that I can get for that so I can see it for myself?
Well, the tail of Planet X, the twin-stranded tail, that as it comes in, they're on either side, and they look like wings on a round globe. So that's why around the world you find the same symbol of a globe with wings. But to get this picture, the tail of Planet X is stretching towards the Earth, kind of because of like a static electricity thing. And the tail is causing magnetic storms in the upper atmosphere, and it's full of iron oxide and hydrocarbons. So when you go look at the moon at night, you'll notice that it has a greasy appearance. And if you take a picture, you'll see it in the picture.
Right.
And if you take a picture of the sun during the day, you'll see it looks all ragged. It's not that smooth disk that used to be in the end of movies when the sun would set. You go, wow, that's beautiful. You don't get that now. You get these ragged pictures. But you'll also get these white dots. Now, those moons are swirling. Each tail has its own little vortex. And they clear the dust away, and it's like a fiber optic channel that goes down through the cloud of the tail where there's no dust and no hydrocarbons, and it's a bright light. And they actually caught that on a video out on the Mississippi River where there's a place called Twin Cities. They were doing a morning show, and they had a bridge cam, and the spotlight moved down the river across the bridge, and they're like, what is that, a helicopter? And there was no helicopter. That was the light coming through one of these little vortexes from the moon spinning around so fast. It's like when you put stuff in a blender and you take the cover off and you look in there and you can look all the way down to the blades. Well, it's a rapidly changing thing, but if you take a picture of the sun and you get these white dots, that's what they are. Now, the best way to take a picture, so people always are skeptical. They say, oh, it's got to be a lens flare, okay? And I was a professional photographer in New York and L.A. for 4 years, so I know all about it. Put your cell phone camera on video and turn the camera around while you're pointed at the sun, and you will see the lens flares will move, but the little white dots and Planet X and everything else that's going on will be captured perfectly. So, you know, have fun. Digital cameras, you can shoot, like my camera says, I can take 5,000 pictures before I have to download one.
Let's go to the West Coast. Let's go west of the Rockies. John in Otay Mesa, California. John, you're up next.
Oh, thanks. How are you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, we're doing good. Real quick, John, before we hit this break.
Okay. I was looking up in the sky at about 22:55, and I saw this huge orange light with like a plume of orange coming out, and I thought that was going to be the end of the world, but we're still here. I was just wondering if stuff like that is caused by Nibiru, or is it just...
So almost an hour ago, exactly an hour ago. What part of the state?
Southern California. I'm right on the Mexican border right here in Otay Mesa.
Okay, so we'll put the word out, and if anybody has seen anything, let us know here at Coast, and you can certainly post something in Twitter. I'll see it there, too. Wow, that's interesting. What did it look like, John?
It looked like that that light that was above L.A. that everybody was freaking out over, but it had an orange tint to it.
You're talking about the big blue light from last year?
It looked just like that, but it was orange, and it was heading in towards Mexico over the airport area.
I wonder if it was a missile test out of Vandenberg.
It could have been that, too, but I was thinking, God.
Well, let me just say that the only ET ships that you will see, because the selfish ones are banned so from showing themselves so in the sky, they're working with the government, but it was MJ-12 they were working with. But when you see a flying saucer, it's an unselfish extraterrestrials, and they're showing themselves to you because they know you are an unselfish person. So it's like a gift. And I will say, Zetas have ships that ionize the air around them as a beautiful orangey red.
Thank you for the phone call, John.
All right, you guys have a good morning.
Yeah, thank you so much. Very interesting. So that was down near the border, Southern California with Mexico. So if anybody was down in that area, of course, San Diego would count too as well. Anybody that has saw anything tonight about exactly an hour ago, let me know here on Coast. You can certainly call in, shoot me an email, or post something in Twitter. I would like to know. But the good news is it's 5 till midnight, And we are still here. Listen, Gordon, I want to thank you for manning the phones with us tonight. And very, very cool information about Nibiru. I have not heard any of this before. So everybody
I'm
can
a walk-in encyclopedia, and I'll always be available to coast to coast.
Yeah, I want to thank you so much. And you're on Revolution Radio on Friday nights?
Yes, and for the first time ever, I have a mailing address and where you can send donations to help support me. And I have a phone number, so can I give those out?
No, actually, is there a way that they can get that information off of Revolution?
Yeah, they could listen to my show. Yes, they could.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so there you go. And all of the information for Gordon is over on the Coast website, and you can click on his name right there. Thank you so much, Gordon. You survived the end of the world.
Well, it's pretty nice here on the mountaintop in Maine where I live near the ocean, and I picked it because it's going to be an island.
Thank you so much. Be safe and be well, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is our end of the world special event. Now, I'm going to keep the phone lines open for the rest of the night. I want to hear from all of you all around the world. Are you safe? Are you throwing a party? Did you quit your job? That's what I want to find out next. This is Coast to Coast AM.